Okay, so again, you we don't cooked out that you were dealing with the okay. We said to start the knowledge of a creator, of a yichud, of an infant creator was well known. There were great tzaddikim that lived before Avraham Avinu. He met some of them. And he knew about the one unified infinite creator already. He maybe discovered it himself. They gave it to him. When he was 3, when he was 48, the last sugya. But that's not what he gave us, and that's not why he rejected their path and chose a whole new path. The reason why he did that was because he understood something about himself, not something about the Borei Olam. He understood that he was the reason for the Bria. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't just interested in what was going on in the higher world, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason, had an interest in being Megali in the lowest places. That's why he wanted a partnership, so to speak, with us.
When you say you realized that he was the purpose of creation, specifically Avram or every single year, every single future?
Well, it started with Avram. We're looking at Avram. Right. Obviously, Avram inherited to us this new creature called Yisrael Eved Hashem. Yeah. Which Adam HaRishon was supposed to do, then Adam HaRishon blew it, and it took 20 days for somebody to come along and understand Shebishvili Nivra Ha'olam. We haven't discussed what that means yet. We just, that's the starting point.
Hey, Rob, what page are we on?
I understand.
That's good advice. That's a good thing to do. Most people don't recognize that as an important thing to do. Think Rob? Before you speak. Well, so please, if that's what you're doing, take your time. It's a rare treat.
So, Rob, what page are we on?
I wrote down that I have some very, very good sources that the world was created for me as well as every other year, and I have a responsibility to do what I
do. You have a chiv to say that every day as well. You know that. Chayv Adam Loim Ebekol Yom Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Must be important. There's not too many things you have a chiv to say every day. So the fact that it's Bishvili Nivra'olam must be important. Okay.
But Abraham didn't have that passed down. Again, being very careful here, but it's a bit
he discovered that. That's what he discovered.
The world was created for me. I mean, it comes across
pure logic. The way he understood, and he went and investigated and understood what was going on, he understood that, Yishvili Nivra Olam.
What happened to him, let's say by the age of 3, him, or was it some thing that was in the world, he chose to, okay, I'm now going to take
that. He understood that was the purpose of creation. Through penetrating, using his mind into the world, which you could do yourself as well. It's easier now because we have a Masorah how to do it. He came to that recognition that the world was created for one reason and one reason only. For Hashem to do chesed. But in order for Hashem to do chesed, I have something to do with that. I have to utilize my bechira to earn that chesed. Otherwise, it's not pure chesed.
It didn't necessarily start with him working out me and then working for that. It was more like there's something that needs to happen. Hashem needs to bestow his goodness. Ah, fine, I've worked.
It does start with you because you ask yourself, I'm here, and from here, Hashem must have created me. So he created me for a purpose. What is that purpose? Which is where the Masilus Sharim says every Jew has to start. You have to mevara machovosa ba'olamai. What are you living for?
And when we talk about Noach, you didn't have that machshava.
Noach didn't get that clear. No,
you didn't understand why he was created. Like you didn't have that.
He didn't get that clear. He came to a different conclusion, and that's why he walked with Hashem, not in front of Hashem.
Yeah, what, it's not meant to be here.
He understood that he had to do what he was told to do. There's a Bayra Olam. There's a big crater. Oh, Bukhama boy. We none of us 100%. This world is by definition never Sholem. We're waiting for that day, Avola. In time, we're not Sholem. Noach, we're going to see that now. We're going to learn about Avram and Noach and the differences and why Avram rejected Noach's path and went on his own path. But essentially, Noach was a good soldier. You do what you're told, and he did it. That's what a tzaddik is. Noach is called a tzaddik. Avram's called a chosid. Not what we mean today by chosid. What the Shulchan Aruch defines as a chosid. We'll see. But a tzaddik essentially is done what he's supposed to do. Nothing more, nothing less. That's a good soldier, no? That's Noah. He did what he was told. Build a table. How long is it going to take me? 120 years. Every day. I became a carpenter. That's my mission in the world. Just do what you're told. Yes, sir. Aye, aye, captain. And off he went. And he did a marvelous job of doing what he was told to do. And the Torah tells us that he was a tzaddik. A tzaddik. That's it. Today, everybody's a tzaddik. No, the Torah calls him a tzaddik. And he did everything he was supposed to do. So what was the problem? He was supposed to Magaya. That was the problem, and he didn't. Avram did. We'll see. That's what we're going to learn. We haven't learned that yet. So that's what we want to understand. Okay. But that's what Avram Avinu discovered. Not through Gaiver, Bishvili Nevroilam, because Bishvili Nevroilam is something you would want to get rid of if you understood what it really meant. It means I'm responsible for the whole world. I'm kedai that the whole world should be created for me, but that makes me incredibly responsible. I can't just satisfy myself with, you know, doing my little day-to-day job and working and doing what I have to do and moving on. I'm a chrai. I'm responsible for the world. That's not so posh. That knocks the gaiva out of you very quickly, if you had any. Let's see. Slowly. Let's go slowly. Avram Avinu noilad b'matzav shebo kimat v'nishlola memena abachira letzad ha-toiv. As we mentioned before, Adam HaRishon was in a situation where he almost had no bechira to do ra. Everything was weighted and stacked in favor of him getting it right. And he got it wrong. Avram Avinu, the exact opposite. All the odds were against him. Who noilad etzel Terach, he was a son of Terach, who was a great inventor of religions and one of the great leaders of the Avodas Kechovim club. And he grew up where the general mode of existence was Avodas Zara. He had every reason not to choose good. He was a Ben Nida. Many, many things that he had. Mamash had nothing going for him. Ulam Bezrate is Boina Nasamuka. There wasn't even somebody who was sort of like a mentor that he could go and grab hold of. One guy, you know, he found one sort of old man living in a cave somewhere. You know, and he went and he found his mentor and he taught him. No one taught him. Ulam Bezras is Boina Nasamuka. Through deep meditation, deep thought, he discovered the secret of the creation. That answers your question. He came to realize that the Ika purpose of the Bria was for Adam. Adam hu bechiri, hu chofshi b'maisav. This Adam has bechira. He is completely free in what he does. Hashem didn't say to Avram Avinu, Adam Rishon got told that. Avram Avinu discovered that fact for himself. I can make or break the world. The Noichach Ha'uvda, Adam Rishon itzliach lekalkel es ha'olam. Adam HaRishon was matzliach in being mekalkel la'olam. He used his bechira to destroy the world. Al kochach sha'olam nosed b'yodoy. Must be that the world was handed over to Adam HaRishon's hands. If I can destroy something, that means I have control over it. I have something to do with it, correct? I can't destroy something that I have no control over. If I can destroy the world, it must be that I have real serious power. And then a person can also rectify the world. If I have the koach to destroy it, I'm after the koach to rectify it. Rav Shach told Rav Noah Weinberg, if one man can kill 6 million Jews, then one man can makarov 6 million Jews. Even more, because the Koyach HaTov is how much bigger than the Koyach HaRa? 500 times greater. That means if there's a man in the world that can get together an organization to destroy 6 million Jews, then there's a man in the world, one man, who can get together and create an organization that will bring back 6 million Jews. I remember how excited Rav Noach was when they came to tell him they just had the 6 millionth hit on the internet site, on the website. Hashem Torah is one of the first organizations that used the internet to do Kiruv very successfully. I remember they came to tell Rav Noach, we just had our 6 millionth hit. It was many years before that, at a bris of one of his sons, Rav Shach had said that book. I have a picture of Rav Shach at that vault, anyway, at that bris.
Why, just because we have the power to create?
Think about it. If I have the Bechira to destroy something, but I couldn't rectify that, I didn't have Bechira, all I could do was destroy it. Adam HaRishon is told, please pay attention not to destroy my world. That means he has a choice or not? If he doesn't have a choice, he's going to destroy it, Mamela, then why tell him don't destroy it?
He has a choice at that point to destroy it.
Or not to destroy it. Or not to destroy it. Okay, so now, he had the koich and he destroyed it. If I'm the purpose of the Bria, and the purpose of the Bria is for the world to be shalem, rectified, and I have the power to destroy it, I have the power to rectify it once I've destroyed it.
Once you've destroyed it.
Of course. But if it's not destroyed, you don't have to rectify. If one person can destroy the world, then one person can rectify the world. That's what Bechir is. I'm in control of the world. The world was given to me to do with what as I please. You want to destroy it? Rishus losen beyoder. You have rishus to do it because Hashem's not going to interfere with your Bechir. You want to use your Bechir to rectify the world and put it back in its place? Go ahead and do it. Why would that be a problem? If you understand Bechira, that shouldn't be a problem.
That's good.
But more than that, you have the koyach to do it. We'll see. We'll deal with how much koyach you have to do. More than that, you have the Bechira first. First, you have to have the Bechira. First, you have to make a decision, is the wrong word, but you have to make a spontaneous creative act to do it. Abraham understood that he was the purpose of the Bria. And the Bria is a mess. So what am I going to do with it? Blame Adam. It's not my fault. I never messed up the kitchen. Why should I clean it up? No. I'm part of the family and the kitchen's a mess. I'm going to tidy it up. You had the Bechira to mess it up. I had the Bechira to clean it up. Olam Chesed Yibona. Hashem wants his world. I want to give Hashem his world back. I have the Bechira to do that. How do I know? Because I see Adam had the Bechira to destroy it. Bechira works both ways. Otherwise, not Bechira. Hashem puts in front of you life and death, blessing and curse. Those are two valid paths. Otherwise, it's not Bechira. If one of those paths wasn't a valid path, what is it? Please don't destroy my world. Well, all I could do was destroy world. And then Bechira. If I destroy the world through Bechira, then I can fix the world through Bechira.
Have a choice. Yeah.
You have to have a choice. Yeah. For sure. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu, we should have asked these questions when we discussed
them.
We should have discussed this when we saw Moshe Rabbeinu, saw the Chet HaEgel, understood what the Koyach of Bechira was, and then used his Bechira to destroy the Luchos. We discussed that then, remember?
Why is the status quo not one of the two choices? Destroy or status quo?
Just don't do anything. Who needs you not to do anything? Then I'll just create the world and let it just run on its own. You're being tested to see which way you're going to go. If the world's for me and the world's there to test me to see how I'm going to use my Bechira, was the status quo an option?
I can sit there and do nothing.
Who needs you to sit there and do nothing?
I'm not doing the bad.
But you're not doing the good. You're not building anything. You're not giving Hashem anything. You're just sitting there doing nothing.
If the status quo is what Hashem wanted, he could have made us without the temptation to do the bad thing in the first place. And therefore, there's no choice. Why even give us the choice to do the bad thing if you just want to do the status quo? That was the idea. The idea of the status quo, and don't give us the choice to do the bad thing, and then it can't do the same
thing. It's not so simple, and I'll tell you why. Because what was Adam HaRishon asked to do? Nothing. Don't eat from the tree. He had other things to do as well. He had to be Shomer Voivod. He had to keep all the mitzvahs. He had to keep Shomer Voivod on the mitzvahs. But not doing a love is also a asay, the mitzvah. In other words, if the world's in a rectified state, don't destroy it. But once you've destroyed it, well, then your job is to rectify it. Because you're in the world to enable a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol to fulfill the purpose of the Bria. If the Bria is in shambles, you've got to put it back together again. Otherwise, Hashem can't fulfill his mission in the world. Kaviyachol.
Status quo was ideal.
But there had to be a test. So Hashem gave him one love in the Torah. Don't eat. Thou shalt not eat. And his job wasn't to eat using his Bechira. Obviously, it was an Ishoin, otherwise, there's no Bechira either. You went to the McCollett in the last 24 hours into a store. You stole. You don't have to. You have diplomatic immunity. You can admit to. You didn't steal. It was an ordeal. You're going to get reward for that? Why not? Because there was no Ishoin. No Ishoin for that. I don't have Bechira to steal.
Now, if I chose to steal, no,
you couldn't. One second. If you could choose to steal, you would have Bechira to steal. And if you didn't steal, you would get reward for not stealing because you had any sight. But you had no Bechira decision not to steal, was it?
Now, for the person that did have the Bechira to steal, because that was a
and he didn't steal, he gets reward for not stealing. And he built the world. Mama, she's becoming the world then. He's doing the rocks and the shell.
By doing the status quo, by leaving it.
It's not a status quo, that's what I'm telling you. You have an Isoyin and you use your Bechira to Sheval Taisa to not steal. That's not doing nothing.
By doing nothing, that's not status quo. Is creating.
Of course, that's not right. The status quo. That's not the status quo. He obviously had an Isoyin, otherwise, he didn't have Bechira. When the Torah commands you to do something, you have a Bechira to do this or that. Now we plug into that Marechet of Dessler's famous essay on the Kudat HaBechira. You don't have Bechira in every possible area. There's some things that are above you, and there are things that are too low for you. Nobody yet could speak Lashon Hara because it's just not shy. I couldn't even if I wanted to. I just don't have it. The same as you couldn't steal because you're just not going to steal. Hashem changes your Nekudas HaBechira and he puts you into a corner and he squeezes you to the point where the only way I'm going to do this is if I steal. Do I steal? Don't I steal? I can't pay the mortgage. And then you have a pickle and you have to, like we saw the brother there with the story of the brother. A week before, there was not a Havamina who would think of telling a lie in order to make money. But suddenly Hashem puts him in a Nisayon and now he has a Bechira. The week before, he never had a Bechira to lie. Now he has a Bechira to lie. It changes. Adam Arishan had one Bechira. And there was a real Nisayon. Don't think it wasn't a Nisayon. We don't understand the Nisayon. We're like, come on, you wimp. How did you blow that one? Yeah, if I was there, don't eat from the tree. Oh. What's the big deal, Adam? You know, we could see from one end of the world to another. What? No, he had a Nisayon. When Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim and they had to deal with the Chet HaEgel, there was a proper Nisayon. Look, what are you talking about? Me, if I was there, never. Dance around a golden calf? You're joking. Bunch of wimps, yeah? No. It was a real Nisayon. We don't understand the Nisayon. It was a real Nisayon. In your life as well, not doing an Aveira, you know that yourself. It generates an enormous amount of Kedusha. In fact, this generation's Ika Avoida, we'll see, is not so much the Oseh Toi, it's the Sumera. We don't generate Kedusha the way the previous generations created Kedusha. They didn't have that much of Sumera anyway. What did your grandfather have to worry about when he came home from work at night? Should I go to the pub with a bunch of goyim who hate me and they'll probably destroy me and kill me if I go in there? Or should I stay at home and sort of, you know, learn and go to bed? What was the Nisayon? Turn on the TV, dabble with the internet. What? So they had to create Kedusha. They had to do a lot of work. They would come home straight from work, go to the Beis Midrash, learn all through the night, daven, they would all see that. And generating a lot of Kedusha. Today, it's a different Nisayon. It's a different world. Our Nisayon today is, no, I'm not pushing the button. No, I'm not wasting my time. No, I'm not going for the shtus. No, I'm not running off with that nutty strut. No. When are you going to generate some Kedusha, or are you generating Kedusha in your Sumerah? The Osei Tov of our today looks like a bit feeble compared to the previous generations. But our avoider today is a different avoider. We've got different tools for that. We have different nishainas. They never had the nishainas we had. And we never had the nishainas they had. Imagine today, this is part of a much bigger story, but imagine today, well, let's start here. When the Christians used to come to the Jews and offer them to be baptized, Rahman al-Islam, it was a very attractive offer. Those that did baptize were given lots of honor. They were given money. They had jobs. It was a very honorable thing to do. Some of them reached very high positions in the world they were living in. Yeah? But the Rubber gave up their lives rather than do that. But it was a temptation. The poverty and the extreme difficulties that you were living with under those conditions. Converting was a very, very real nisayon. Rubber of the Yidden didn't fall for the nisayon, but there were those that did, and we heard about the stories. You know, you read the stories about the guy who gets called up before the, you know, the head of the Gestapo and whatever, and finds that he's Jewish. Or the guy that got called in before the high priest or whatever, you know, in Rome or whatever. And he was a Jew who baptized and made it very big. The professor, you know, of theology at one of the big universities sent off his student to go learn Yiddishkeit because he was a Yid. Fallen for the Nisayon and become very, very, you know, Spain. Imagine today going into Tel Aviv or anywhere where 90% of the Yidden are, New York, and offering him $1 million to convert. $1 million isn't real money. Let's talk real money. $50 million to convert. Yeah. There will be any sign? No, because why wouldn't he? He's done it without the $50 million. He's being Michal Shabbos without $50 million. You offered him $50 million to Michal Shabbos. what's the nisayon? Don't have that nisayon. They were yidden that could give up their lives rather than take the $50 not to be Michal Shabbos. Today, there's not a nisayon for him anymore. That's not the nisayon. Up to round about the First World War, all the nisayonists against the yidden were religious nisayonists. Convert or we'll kill you. Hitler and Machshmoy didn't offer anybody the choice. Didn't offer anyone the choice. There was a major difference in the way the goyim came at us. Round about, the change started happening round about the First World War. It came to full fruition in the Second World War. But the Second World War really started in the First World. But the Second World War was an issue that we didn't dealt with, that they hadn't dealt with since Purim. Haman also didn't offer us a choice. Hanukkah, they offered us a choice. Just become a good Yevonic and be fine. We're not going to kill you, but I want to kill you. We're interested in killing you. You can carry on being good Jews, just a few things we'd like you to assimilate. Seemed like a very benign Messiah, no? Because why did it change? Because where's the Messiah? Convert. He did it without the incentive. So what are you going to offer? Berlin, when Hitler rode into Berlin, half of Berlin was assimilated already. We talk about the assimilation rate today in America. It wasn't much better in Berlin. The scholar and the reform and had burnt holes in Klavisla. There were almost no kids learning in from schools anymore. The yeshivas were empty. The big, great yeshivas of Litva that we talk about. What was the biggest intake? I think the biggest yeshiva was Slovakia, 200 Talmudim. There were millions of Jews living in Litva at the time, in Eastern Europe. The big yeshivas, all the yeshivas together, maybe had 2,000-3,000 Talmudim. Got nothing left. And then his son to leave was massive. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said that he was on the verge of leaving. And the only thing that kept him and his chavrusa, with only two bochim left in the yeshiva, because everybody else had left already, was some money that his uncle had sent to Rosh Yeshiva to give them money to stay in the basement. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Aaron Kotler was on his way to becoming a math professor. Rabbi Aaron had a sister who was a math professor in one of the big universities, I don't know where. And she was chaperoning him to, what are you doing? You're living in the dark. When are you going to step in that? And eventually it wore him down. He was on the train leaving. Rabbi Aaron. And Baruch Pei sent his son-in-law, Rav Reuven, to go ask him, and he got onto him in the train, and on the train they battled it out, and he slept back to Yeshiva. Whatever you have in Lakewood today happened on that train. But it was touch and go. Touch and go. Rav Aaron had that concern. Talmid Muvak of Baruch Pei. Rav Aaron Kotler. He had that concern. So what about the average man in the street? Offer him kiss the cross or we'll kill you. Or if you do kiss the cross, we'll give you $50 million. It wasn't a concern anymore. There's no. That's why they didn't have that test. It was a different concern and a different test. And since then, the test's different, not the same. That's what keeps shifting. And you need to know in your own personal world, that's macrocosm. In your own personal life, you have to know, where's your nisoin? Where's your bechira? Sometimes it's quite frightening. When you have a look and you see, wow, that's where I'm being tested. Oh, yeah. And it's a real nisoin. No less than Adam Arishan's nisoin. We'll touch on a lot of this as we go weiter, but that's some of the background. Rav Aaron Kotler. The Chofetz Chaim had a granddaughter. The Chofetz Chaim had a granddaughter that lived in Beersheba. A philosopher sort of. From Chofetz Chaim. You saw the Chofetz Chaim, you did tshuva. That's what people said. She was the Chofetz Chaim's granddaughter. She saw the Chofetz Chaim. She had discussions with him. She. So where's the nisoyin for the guy who never saw the Chofetz Chaim? No nisoyin. No bechira there anymore. That's why that's not your test. Anyone who grew up in South Africa knew. Many Gedoli Yisrael. Many Gedoli Rosh Hashivas had grandchildren and great-grandchildren living in South Africa who were chilonim. I know descendants of the Shloach Kodesh who don't eat turkey, but they would eat in a tray for Israel. They wouldn't eat turkey. I'm talking. So you offer him, you know, $1 million not to keep kosher. He's not keeping kosher anyway. What do you want to do? But turkey, you wouldn't get him to eat. Why not? That's Klal Yisrael. The Shloach didn't hold of the Masoid on turkey. The Shloach didn't eat turkey. He didn't have a proper Masoid. And he said it was treif, but he said we don't have a Masoid that it's kosher. So you'll see Horwitzers that are Levim that don't eat turkey. And I know people like that in South Africa, you probably know some of them as well, they won't eat turkey. Chazer for sure, what's the problem? A turkey chas v'chalil. You don't sow on Motzei Shabbos. Yeah. Rosh Chodesh, you don't sow. My brother also, but on Shabbos they went to work. But on Rosh Chodesh, you don't sow. My grandmother used to salt her own meat because she didn't trust the Rabboni. My grandmother used to salt her own meat. She didn't trust the Rabbonim. Her father was a sheikh. She didn't trust the Rabbonim to do the for her. And she used to go to work on Shabbos morning. In New York, there were plenty of minyanim on Shabbos morning, early minyanim. People would go down and walk to work. They wouldn't drive to work.
What's the point?
Where's your Bechira? Where's your Nakudasa Bechira? It keeps changing. Those people had enormous nisoyin. Do you keep Shabbos? Not keep Shabbos. Different people had different nisoyinus. It keeps changing.
Well, maybe if you are so, and you don't go ahead, you go almost automatically back.
Backwards.
If you go nothing, it's not nothing, you go back.
They say if you're moving and you're not pedaling, you're going downhill.
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying that the so-called status quo that I was saying before is actually going back.
You cannot be at the same place.
Not by operation.
It has to be that way. What he's saying has to be that way, because Hashem didn't create you to sit here and do nothing. He don't need you to sit there and do nothing. Hashem can do everything he needs to do. He needs you to be doing something. Sometimes the something is Shemata. Sometimes the something is Kumvasa. Adam Rishon had to not eat from the tree. That was insane. He also had many mitzvahs assays as well. That's Shem Levoiv.
Should have been doing.
But his Ikan Nisoyin wasn't the Shem Levoiv. His Ikan Nisoyin was Alter Calculus Olam. Don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And now that he did that, we have to fix it up. We gotta put the world back together again. That's what Avraham Avinu understood. Okay, let's assume tomorrow let's see what the Seif has to say.
Yay.
And as we mentioned, the Ikra Voida.